Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
So we're back with Southern Cross today, and I spoke to Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Sri Krishnamurthy, and he'll be giving us the updates on the Asia-Pacific region, particularly with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. I began our talk today by asking him about the NZME's offer to buy stuff for $1.
It seems a real surprise to me, but it seems that NZME is now playing hardball with the Commerce Commission and the Minister Chris Farfoy. That's why it's come as a surprise. I mean, and they've been negotiating with the Channel 9 network in Australia to buy stuff for $1. And that's a negligible amount of money to purchase such assets.
I mean, recently a lot of discussion has been around the media monopoly that kind of exists in New Zealand. We just had Bauer Media close, and so with NZME buying stuff, I mean, what does that say for the state of like competition or having diverse media?
Well, I mean, they say they'll be very diverse in operating stuff and in operating NZME. They're separate entities, but we don't know. I mean, we don't know what is in the pipeline for further down the road. Anyway, Shane Curry, when he attended the Epidemic Response Committee meeting, for the media, he indicated that he thought NZME would be best place to buy stuff.
Because it's all a bit up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, it is. I mean, given and they cited Bauer Media falling over as the reason for putting pressure on the government. They want a decision May 31st.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see. Yeah, and on the subject of talking about the press and the media, you've written quite a substantial piece on Papua New Guinea. Do you mind giving me an update on what the situation is over there?
Yeah, I mean, Transparency International wrote a report that criticised both the PNG, Post Korea and the National as overwhelming deference to the former Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill. It says there's much wrong with the media in Papua New Guinea. Even Scott Wade, who's a lay bureau chief of EMTV News, told me we have a crisis on multiple fronts because the debate is stifled, journalists are threatened and abused, ridiculed, editors, CEOs and board members are put under pressure. You're excluded from events or deliberately not informed. And that's really a terrible thing. I mean, it shows a creeping authoritarianism in the Pacific.
Yeah, you mentioned that the full report will be coming out later this year. What might we see in that?
Much the same thing. I mean, it's going to concentrate on Papua New Guinea, and it's probably going to extend out the initial findings.
Specifically, what kind of political interests are currently impacting the ability for journalists
Journalists in Papua New Guinea are further disadvantaged by the lack of right to information legislation, which is like the RIA in here in New Zealand, and so the training is not there. They're not properly given enough information, and so they have to, and the ownership of the media is a constant threat to them.
What is the state of media ownership currently in Papua New Guinea?
The ownership is, I really wouldn't know the full details of it, but it appears that the politicians have a hand in the audio waves up in Papua New Guinea.
And you also touched on Samoa as well. What's the situation over there?
The Samoa Observer, which is a very, very proactive newspaper. James Robertson is a co-editor for the Samoa Observer, has stated that they're being excluded from the media briefings, COVID-19 briefings, and they're not allowed to ask questions or even send reporters to the briefings. So it's showing the authoritarianism is creeping right around the Pacific.
And I wanted to ask on, I guess looking at press freedom and the state of newsrooms in general, looking at 2020, and we've had COVID-19 have such a substantial impact on newsrooms and even our own situation in New Zealand. What are your predictions for how...
We do need a robust media, that's for sure. And the only way to do that is by taxing the Googles and the Facebook and the social media platforms to a much higher level and expecting them to pay for content that they use.
You touched on briefly before that New Zealand's possibly looking to move down to alert level 2. And so we've only had, I think, two or three cases every other day. But what's the situation in the Pacific Islands at the moment?
There's 270 cases, fewer than 270 cases in the Pacific Islands. And they seem to be really robust. I mean, it's a good thing that COVID-19 it hasn't touched them all that heavily. The major thing for them is the economic impact. Right now is tourism, and tourism is a $4.2 billion industry in the Pacific Islands, and it has that's gone down. That's basically crashed. So you're going to see poverty, you're going to see unemployment in the Pacific Islands for a long time. And last week, Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade commissioned a report from the South Pacific Tourism Organization, asking them to find out ways to recover.
We had the Prime Minister announce recently that there might be a trans-Tasman bubble with New Zealand and Australia. Do you think there might be a similar kind of setup in terms of New Zealand's relationship with the Pacific Islands?
That's for sure. I mean, as long as it's safe and as long as they can come in with the due diligence required, then we should extend the bubble to the Pacific Islands and the region, and so tourism can resume as soon as it can. I mean, it's going to take at least 2 years for tourism to come back to find its feet.
And finally today, I wanted to touch on a bit about the situation in Fiji. You wrote a piece about the Fiji rugby chief who was recorded making homophobic slurs. I was wondering if you could give me a kind of rundown of the situation there.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Beaumont was re-elected as the rugby chairman. And in 2015, he signed an agreement with the International Gay Rugby Board. So they were going to be bound to have diversity, they're bound to have inclusivity, and everything else like that. Like Nigel Owens is a referee in Wales, and a worldwide renowned referee who's gay. And so Francis Keane, he came out and made these slurs as the head of a business chief. He's the brother-in-law of the Prime Minister of Frank Bainimarama. And so Bill Beaumont asked him not to stand. I mean, he asked him if he stood down for the World Council elections about 2 weeks ago. Now the pressure is going on by the Pacific Welfare Affairs Association from in Europe to get some answers for some homophobic slurs, because they can't simply do this with them signing an agreement with the International Rugby Board. They've got to stop this, and there is no LGBTQI rights in Fiji, not that I'm aware of.
That was something I wanted to ask on. Yeah, what I had a quick look, and so it's recently, I think in 2010, have they just ruled that police can't arrest consenting adults who are having same-sex. And same-sex marriage is also not legal in Fiji. So
yes.
Are we seeing this kind of reflect the kind of trends and current protections in place?
Yeah, it seems to be a major problem with the Pacific Islands. In that, I mean, even if you see Israel Palau's comments about gays, but it disregards the fact that there are gays in the Pacific Islands. I said to Dan Lee and Charlie Chatham, the Welfare Association, why didn't you tell Fiji that there are no gay players are going to go to Fiji ever again, and that's going to stop them because the tourism is already stopped. So they can't even hold a tournament of gay players, and it's a terrible situation. I mean, it seems to be wiped throughout the Pacific Islands. I mean, because without putting a finger on it, I mean, it's religious motivations that tend to discriminate against them.
As well, in regards to inclusivity in sport in Fiji and the Pacific Islands, are we seeing improvements in that area?
No. I mean, it's like New Zealanders. I mean, you don't ask and you don't tell.
Mm.
So it's even worse than New Zealand. In fact, I mean, they aren't inclusive at all. I mean, if anybody is perceived as being gay, they're frowned on and mocked.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else you wanted to add for today, or anything else that we can look forward to coming from the Pacific Media Watch?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be doing two seminars. Yeah, one is a seminar with Kevin Rudd and Dame Meg Taylor on COVID-19 in the Pacific, and the other thing is climate change in the Pacific. The webinar is from in New York, and the other one is going to be the Human Rights Movement, Human Rights Measurement Initiative. Those are the two webinars I'll be doing. This week the Human Rights Movement are going to take in some of the COVID-19 and discuss media freedom. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the Asia Society Policy Institute, which will have Kevin Rudd, Secretary General of the Pacific Islands Forum, Meg Taylor, and the leader of the opposition, Vanuatu, Ralph Ringanivani.
You can read all the Pacific Media Watch Centre updates at asiapacificreport.nz or pacmediawatch.au.ac.nz.
That was the Southern Cross.